Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Respiratory. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on strategies for the management of severe pediatric asthma. Four clinical specialists and the parent of a child with severe asthma share their perspectives on the importance of the multidisciplinary team for the diagnosis and management of severe pediatric asthma, with a focus on supporting patients and their families in the clinical setting and in daily life. This activity is funded by an independent medical education grant from Sanofi and Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. This activity is jointly provided by USF Health and Touch IME. In this podcast, a paediatric immunologist is joined by a paediatric pulmonologist, a primary care physician, and a paediatric asthma nurse specialist to discuss how they can work as a multidisciplinary team to best monitor and manage paediatric patients with severe asthma.
Hello, my name is Dr. Wanda Pibotanical, and I am the director of the Division of Immunology Research Center at Boston Children's Hospital and professor of pediatrics at Harvard Medical School in Boston, Massachusetts, in the United States. I'm delighted to be joined today by Dr. Atul Gupta, who is a pediatric pulmonologist at King's College Hospital in London, in the UK, and Dr. Iona Siligiani, who is the associate professor in general practice and public health at the University of Crete in Greece, and Ms. Viv Marsh, pediatric asthma nurse specialist and asthma clinical lead in the Black Country West Midlands, UK. In this section, we are going to be discussing the role of a multidisciplinary team in the management of patients with pediatric severe type 2 asthma. So I'd like to begin the discussion by thinking about how we monitor our patients. And I'll start with asking Dr. Iona, from a primary care perspective, how do you monitor how your patients are doing and how they're responding to treatment?
Yes, I think, thank you, Dr. Vanda. I think the most important part is that the child first feels good, let's say in simple words, and avoids exacerbation and risk for hospitalizations, but also the parents feel that their child develops and handles well with life. I think the best way, to my view, personal view, is to use some structured instruments to assess the control of the disease and also to assess the quality of life. So the CEACT or the ACQ could be good suggestions to see if the response is working, because and the most important for me is that if you use a structured way with a questionnaire, then this could be repeated and you can see the improvement or the deterioration of the status of the child, apart, of course, of assessing always symptoms, history, and etc. And I would like to add at this point that these questionnaires, to my view, again, depends on who is using them, of course, but also the experience that you have. So, for example, I like the CARAT kits because I can also assess, as we have already mentioned, the important role of comorbidities. I can also assess in one questionnaire the allergic rhinitis, for example. And this is really important for me. And the fact that the child can also address the questionnaire because there are infographics in, so I can have a good view of the child as well.
What about from a nursing management standpoint, Ms. Viv, do you have any thoughts on when you see your patients?
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, to add to what Iona has been saying about quality of life questionnaires and control assessment questionnaires, which are incredibly useful and often really useful as a starting point for a really good conversation and discussion with children and families, I have to say. But some of the things that I might consider as a specialist nurse, particularly working in the community with children and young people with difficult and severe asthma, I might be thinking about things like participation, the wider sort of lifestyle issues. So participation in activities, things like sleep, things like family dynamics, and also things like school attendance. And I do a lot of work in schools, a lot of work with teachers and also with children in schools. So, you know, how well are they settling in school? How well are they learning? You know, are they able to concentrate, or are they so tired from having nighttime asthma symptoms that actually it's really affecting their behavior or their concentration levels in school? So all of those sorts of things I would consider to bring together the whole picture. But as a specialist nurse, I get a lot of opportunities for home visiting, and that gives us really great insight into family dynamics and perhaps what's going on in the home as well.
That's fantastic. I just can imagine how beneficial that is to your patients to really go out into their community and to really kind of understand. And it sounds like a coordinated kind of multidisciplinary approach, working with the school, working with home, working with the families can really make a difference. And your role is so, so vital. So we really appreciate that. What about you, Dr. O'Toole, from a specialist standpoint? What do you think about when you're thinking about coordinating the care of your patients and monitoring and making sure that the treatment plan is working?
So from a specialist perspective, is a severe asthma needs to be managed by a multidisciplinary team. And we heard from Viv about the role of the specialist nurses, but also the role of physiotherapists, the pharmacists, the dietetics, and the psychologist. It's both the impact of severe asthma on the patients and the family, which needs to be monitored, but also to evaluate the side effects from any of the medications which the child would have had in the past. So looking at the comorbidities as well. So in addition to, I think, asthma control tests, we use that very frequently and it's very helpful. School attendances are a great way of looking at it, but also looking at to help the patient to take medications, looking at the treatment management plan, is that simple enough for them to do, using them smart inhalers so that we have an idea of how much treatment they are doing it, but also as a reminder for them to take it using exhalated oxide spirometry with the COVID. We almost start using a lot more home spirometry on the patients who are able to maintain to the lung function test routinely at home.
I think for as an allergist, I mimic a lot of these where I really try to coordinate the expertise of the nurse, the family, understanding how things are at school and at home, and working with the specialists and the pulmonologists as well, and to a really coordinated multidisciplinary approach. And I also like to focus as an allergist managing those modifiable risk factors. If we know that there have specific triggers, and a lot of the work I have done for the last decade has actually been in school specific triggers and trying to make an impact on the school environment.
You know, from country to country, things are completely different. And we all know and we think the multidisciplinary collaboration is a key factor, of course, to be able to manage well severe asthma, but also any other chronic condition. But the problem is, I don't want the people, the audience, to have the feeling that this is available everywhere. So, So this depends a lot on socioeconomical status of the country, of course, and many other factors, the geographical variation. So the teaching of the schools and the teachers, for example, is really crucial because they can have good monitor of the children, but also avoid allergens and and many factors, and they can monitor well. But if there is no multidisciplinary team or there is no access, then the primary care physician should be also there and try to teach the children and the teachers as well. And of course, home visits are really crucial because they give you a good impression of the family dynamics, as you said, Dr. Mars, but also the conditions, because there is a lot of poverty in many places, and poverty is a risk factor also for exacerbations of asthma.
Also, not forgetting about the poor medication adherence to inhaled corticosteroids is most primary cause what we see in difficult to control asthma symptoms, and the primary care professionals have an important role to play. And also, even though we have taught the parents on multiple occasions and how to use the inhalers, whenever we revisit it, is always there's a room for improvement. And the research studies have shown between only 8 to 25% of children are able to use inhalers as they should be. So looking at the focusing on the basics is also very important before we start looking at the expensive biological treatment. And then majority of the patients, I think, is the basics is what is required, focusing on inhaled corticosteroids, asthma education, and the inhaler technique.
The inhaler technique is really crucial, and I think that's what I said also before. It's really important, and we don't invest a lot of time in that. We recently finished a study, which was a European study with many countries being involved, with even video recordings of the patients, and the errors were enormously high. So I really support your point, Dr. Gupta.
I think this brings us to the close of this particular discussion, and I'd like to thank the faculty and the audience for watching. And if you want to find more information about the management of severe pediatric asthma, you can check out some of the other short videos in this activity. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Respiratory at www.touchrespiratory.com. You can also view a second activity in this series on severe pediatric asthma, a Touch in Conversation on Touch Respiratory.